Hi, I'm Katie Page.
And I'm Paul Ashton.
And we made a comedy feature film called This Isn't Funny that Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro helped us produce.
Along with us, it stars Anthony LaPaglia, Eddie Gathegi, Mimi Rogers, David Pasquese, Gia Carides, and Danielle Panabaker.
And it features some hilarious stand-up comedy from Beth Stelling, Ahmed Barucha, Will Weldon,
and Katie. And you can stream the film right now in the U.S. store of iTunes, on Google Play, and at Amazon.
And if you like it, please tell your friends, share it, and rate it.
Thanks so much, guys.
Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Yes! This is everything I dreamed it would be. Fun fact, I actually once bartended at a charity event that was also a Kenny Loggins concert.
Really?
Yeah, wow. Yep. I made Neil Diamond a drink. It was a great time.
So how was this live? No, I need to know.
Oh, it was amazing.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Like, you have not lived until you go to a Kenny Loggins concert. Incidentally, also, I would say Duran Duran, but Kenny Loggins, amazing.
And Bob Seger.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey guys, welcome to Star Wars Rebels Season 2, Episode 7, Wings of the Master After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. If you guys have not done so already, please be sure to head on over to iTunes, subscribe, leave reviews, 5 stars if you like us, let us know what we're doing right. Also, if you are listening on iTunes, remember you can always go over to YouTube and watch the videos there. And if you're watching right now, we will be following along with that live chat momentarily, as well as following the hashtag ABTVRebels on Twitter. So if you guys want to ask us any questions or contribute to the conversation, you can always do it that way. I am Emma Fife. You can follow me all over the internet, everywhere Emma Fifes are sold, at Emma Fife. And I am joined by a fabulous panel of ladies, as per usual, Katie Cullen.
I don't sound like The Walking Dead anymore. Hi, all my buddies. You can find me on Twitter at Kiaxet, K-I-A-X-E-T.
And Megan Salinas.
Hey, guys. You can tweet at me at The Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N.
And Megan does have an Instagram now.
Fact.
She did. Fact.
We are all Instagrammed.
Exactly. Yay. Season 2, Episode 7, Wings of the Master. First impressions, what did you guys think?
This episode was amazing, and I want another.
I know! So good, right?
I'm wondering what's wrong with that eccentric old man.
I don't know wrong with him. I think he's just been alone for a really long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, his lip was a mustache. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah.
That's a little weird.
There's variations on the Mon Calamari species.
Also, I really, as much as I love Callus's mutton chops, I really do, I feel like he had the wrong do for this episode because he needed to twirl a mustache.
He did, yeah.
We're going to deprive them of their food.
Yes. there were several opportunities where I feel Agent Callus in this episode specifically could have really benefited from a sinister mustache.
See, that's the point where you just stroke the bone.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and stroking the mutton chops doesn't have quite the same effect.
You get your fingers caught in them and you can't get them out.
I know, I would love to see him do it.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah, exactly.
Not again.
He's got sideburns for days.
Yeah, if this were a live
action thing,
there would be some great outtakes of Callus attempting to stroke his mutton chops.
I would love to see them pull a Pixar and make outtakes and animate them. Like, that would be the best ever.
That would be so great.
Especially with Chopper.
Oh.
Chopper outtakes.
Oh, completely. Yeah. I mean, Chopper provides an endless source of comedy anyway. So, to see them intentionally animating him messing things up like, not just messing things up within the plot of the episode, but messing things up within, like, filming.
Like,
the
running
episode.
Into the floor director.
Yeah, yeah.
Knocking over the gaffer.
Exactly.
Yelling at makeup when they do the paint touch ups wrong. Makeup can't understand what he's saying.
Yes. That would be amazing. So, the basic plot of this episode was that there's this planet. It's called Ibar, and they are out of supplies. And basically, the Phoenix Squadron of the Rebel Legion is attempting to get supplies to them via these, like, slow-moving transport...
units.
Squares.
Yeah.
Also are spaceships.
Well, the Empire is blocking them,
yes,
because they want to break their spirits.
Exactly.
So they're like, well, double your work, have your rations, and we'll just kind of starve you until you submit. Yay!
Yay!
These are some warm, fuzzy human beings.
They are.
At the risk of sounding really dumb, how big is this planet? Was it just the, like, few Imperial ships that are just hanging out in this particular area? Is this the only entry point for this planet? Can you not go around to the other side, maybe, to try?
It might be the only populated area,
yeah,
of the planet. Like, I seriously,
well,
doubt there,
I
was
mean,
all
I know,
sorts
still
of settling
fly down
gun
to the
Hulk,
ocean.
For example.
Maybe it's kind of like Canada, where, you know, there's only so many, like, areas that Canada is actually populated.
Maybe. It's just...
See, to me, that's Wyoming.
Just for me, I look at this and I'm like, okay, for me, the only reason that this makes sense is that the Empire is able to track them, their trajectory,
sure,
and to be,
yeah,
able to go, okay, we're going to get there before them, cut them off at the pass.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way I, yeah, see this working. Because otherwise, I mean, if they're just hanging out there, you can fly around.
All right, let's just go to the other side of the planet.
Yeah. It's a really,
and they
big
know
planet.
That this is where the people who have been in contact with the rebels are, and this,
yeah,
is where the drop point's going,
yes,
to be, and the ships have to make it here eventually to drop off the supplies, because there's no way that the planet side people can track halfway around the world to pick them up.
This is true. We can't just suddenly change our minds and be like, you know what? Actually, we're going to the other side of the planet, so if you
sorry,
could just
guys,
move there real fast.
The blockade is pretty much a hockey goal.
Exactly, yeah. What I was going to say, I mean, as you mentioned too, Katie, like, they had a blockade set up. So, obviously, it was causing some problems in terms of transporting supplies. And so, basically, it opens up on a battle where we see them fail to transport,
yeah,
supplies.
That,
Deep
I don't think
Blue
we've
got
seen
killed.
I know. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, especially because, though, you know, Rebels delves into some darker topics than a lot of kids' shows do.
And people have already died.
Yeah, yeah, people have already died. But
graphically so.
Yes.
They lost their heads.
Yes.
Boo.
Though, by and large, we have seen, you know, it is technically a kid's show, and by and large, we have seen good triumph. So, it was great to open with such high stakes.
Yeah.
And then have that do-do-do-do-do.
I know.
guys. Incongruous.
I know. It totally was. Yeah, I agree. We actually all said that when it was going to the commercial break. We're like, ooh, might have picked a different music.
Different cue. And
yeah.
Even just silence would have been fun.
Yeah. Start off with the Imperial March.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something that isn't like... A lot of people just died. Triumphant music.
Yeah,
yeah,
I know.
Phoenix leader died. The transport was shot down and exploded.
Everyone on it died.
Yeah.
Hera failed. And
she
you can
did.
Just see it on her face.
She did. Yeah. And I, this is going to sound sadistic of me, but, like, I liked that. In a like, it hurt me in the feels kind of way.
Character development.
Yeah. Well,
and again, it's one of those things where it helps to raise the stakes because it shows, hey, our heroes aren't infallible. They're
no.
not going to make it out of every scrape okay.
Yeah,
they're not always going to come out on top.
Yeah, not at all. And so basically after that, they realize we're in big trouble here. We really need to get through this blockade, and we simply don't have the means to do it. So that's when Captain Rex reveals that he's actually... been in contact with somebody who has a basically an artillery star destroyer, a heavy artillery, like, fighter plane, if you will, that...
A blockade breaker.
A blockade breaker, exactly. And so Hera gets sent on a mission, which Kanan volunteers her for.
Yeah, Hera will do it. What?
I will. Because Hera, at this point, is so focused on trying to, at least from my perspective, I saw it not so much as a... I have to do this mission to you know, transport the supplies to Ibar because I'm the right person to do it. At that point, there's a certain amount of guilt associated with it. And she's like, I got to make this right.
They can't have died for nothing.
Yes. Yeah.
And she even says it. She's like, they need me now more than ever.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, she feels an obligation. She's because she was the one that told that transport unit to stay on course.
Yeah.
If she had told them to retreat, it might not have exploded.
They might have made it. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, but she still ends up going on the mission, which leaves us with a very entertaining scene where Kanan is now piloting the Ghost, and Ezra and Chopper are fighting over who is going to be the co-pilot, which led to one of my favorite quotes from the episode, where Ezra tells Kanan to tell Chopper that he is the co-pilot, and he says, "You're both co-irritating me."
Dad, make him stop touching me. He's on my side.
That is exactly what it was. For any of you who have siblings, you've lived this moment at some point in your life.
Yeah, it was great.
I have two brothers, and I sat in the middle on a lot of road trips. Let me tell you, this is the thing.
You know, it was really fun, I thought, in this episode to start seeing some of that almost dad and child banter that we get between Ezra and Kanan that we certainly got a lot last season, that's sort of been waylaid this season for more serious
business.
Kind of business. Yeah, exactly. And in this episode, we got to see a little bit of that.
Well, and just like watching the facial expressions, because the animation is
so good.
The characters
so
were amazing good. This episode. But looking at Kanan, when Ezra sits down and goes, "I'm co-pilot," Kanan kind of gets this, "Oh, dear God."
Yes,
Like,
Yeah, is it me or are there, like, the animation's always been great and
always been
stellar.
I agree.
But is it me or is there, like, a little bit more subtlety this time around?
I think there is. I think overall this season, it definitely is, right out of the gate, a lot more serious. And I think that is reflected in the animation, where you get those subtleties with, like, complex human or alien, in many cases, emotions.
Twi'lek.
Well, yeah, Twi'lek.
And we have a season that's twice as long.
Yeah.
It's probably much higher budget. And
Absolutely.
Disney might be looking at this property and going, this may be what people are watching for their Star Wars fix to get in the mood for episode 7 coming out in less than a month.
Oh, yeah,
so
for sure.
So we need to make this look really good, because this is going to be their Star Wars hype until the movie.
Yeah. For anybody else, is this guy's, like, helping you guys get your fix, too?
Yeah, I actually would love to know that, too. I don't know if we can get the live chat up on the monitor there. Yeah, it's happening. But, yeah, so, I mean, if you guys are in the chat, feel free to, you know, answer that question and also tweet it at us using that hashtag ABTVRebels. Because for me, I mean, every time I get a new announcement about Force Awakens, I go, oh, thank goodness I have Star Wars Rebels.
I basically just hit the point of, don't tell me anything else about the movie. Don't show me any more previews. Don't give me any TV spots. Just stop. I just want to see the movie now.
Yeah.
Just
I know. Close your eyes and plug your ears.
Yeah, because when it autoplays ahead of the video that you're watching, it's just like, no.
Well, because we're fortunate to be in a world where we have Star Wars Rebels, and it is the first time that we've seen Star Wars 100% in the hands of Disney, and it's fantastic. So it makes me really optimistic for the sequels, because Rebels is handled so well.
Yeah, and it's a lot of the same people working
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
I will say, what worries me about the movie is Abrams. I don't trust the man.
Mm.
So we'll see.
I do, only because he's a really big fan of Star Wars.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
He was not... He's arguably not the right choice for Star Trek, because what he wanted to do was bring Star Wars storytelling to the Star Trek world.
Right.
Which isn't how it works.
No, not
at
all.
I enjoyed the first one.
The first one was fun.
The first one was okay.
The second one...
But, yeah, for people, because I'm not a hardcore Trekkie, but for people who were hardcore Trekkies, they could spot a phony.
His interview with Jon Stewart was amazing.
Yeah.
But
I'm looking,
getting back to Star Wars, I, the meat of this episode involved the interaction between Hera and the Mon Calamari, whose name was Quarry, who we previously discussed has a mustache for a mouth. And
I love that fish.
And her securing this blockade breaker from him. And I really, really enjoyed the conversation wherein she convinced him to let her fly the ship. First of all, the planet where he has built the ship on, you can't fly ships through the atmosphere.
No one would suspect.
It breaks them coming in. And it's that you lose power. So you're not flying, you're falling with style.
You're just falling. Falling with style, yep.
I'm not entirely convinced he just wasn't dropped off there, like, from another ship that was crashing. Because there's nobody else on the planet with him except for BG. So I would not say, and we know by the end that he doesn't fly. So it makes me think he was, like, a passenger and jumped ship when it started falling.
I know, yeah, I was curious about that, too.
He just ended up on that plateau, and he's like, well, I guess this is as good a place as any.
Yeah, this is where we live now.
Where does he get food?
I don't know. Yeah,
what
I question that
eat?
As well. I don't know what Mon Calamari's eat.
Yeah. Scrap metal. I don't know.
Yeah. I did like, though, that he was a Mon Calamari, you know, Quarry was, and he was working on the what ultimately we find out are the B wings, which we have seen in Star Wars before, though you might not necessarily immediately recognize it because they're not normally bright orange as the prototype was.
I am super okay with bright orange.
Yeah, it was
that
fun.
That made me very happy.
Yeah, it was a good looking ship.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, ultimately we kind of get the beginnings at the end of the episode of the Shantipole project, which Admiral Akbar was associated with in other Star Wars things.
It's a trap.
Yeah, exactly. Which was, you know, about getting more heavy artillery weapons to the rebellion, basically. So
nice little
parallel there. but going back to what I was saying earlier about Hera's interaction with Quarry, which ultimately convinced him to let her pilot the ship. That was really touching to me.
Yeah. And, you know, we should tip our hats to Vanessa Marshall. Her delivery during this monologue, it was so sincere and so great. It was very, very moving. She did a phenomenal job.
Yeah. She is an amazing actress and an amazing human being. So,
well,
yes.
And it was, this is the thing, is one of the things I love about Hera is, yes, yeah, the characters in the show are very complicated and they feel like real people. But at the end of the day, Hera is so good. You know?
Yeah.
Altruistic.
No. Yeah, very altruistic. Like, really, you believe her that she wants what's good for everybody.
Well, and it kind of, excuse me, mm-hmm. It kind of makes sense why she's such a good motherly figure to the rest of the crew.
Yeah.
She left her family behind.
Yes, exactly.
There's like a void there.
Yeah. This is her nakama. She has adopted it and assembled it, and it belongs to her.
Yeah. I wrote down exactly what she said, and it was real good. So when she was talking about flying, she said, you know, even when there are explosions around me, things are at their worst. I feel like I'm at my best. And it's so great to see a female character who feels like she's really good at something.
Yes.
I'm just going to say it.
Well, not only feels like she's good at something, but
knows
good.
Knows it. And yeah, exactly. And of course, you know, ultimately we see the payoff for that in this episode because when she does come back and she saves everybody using the B-Wing and they manage to get the supplies to Ibar, she gets appointed to be Phoenix squad leader.
Yeah.
Captain Hera.
Really great big damn heroes moment.
Yeah, no, totally. Well, and I liked too, this was again seeing some of that fun interaction between Kanan and Ezra that we saw a lot more of last season. I loved when he was having the conversation when Ezra was having the conversation with Kanan about how they were going to transport the supplies on board the Ghost because it was smaller and more maneuverable. And so they were going to be okay, even though they were now going to be the primary target. And Ezra asks him, you actually believe that? And Kanan says, it makes me feel better when I say it.
It's always nice to get, like, a moment of honesty from Kanan. Yeah. Because we all know he has no idea what he's doing. We've known that ever since he took on Ezra as a Padawan.
Yeah.
So it's always nice to just kind of get those, like, genuine moments from him. Yeah. It's so funny.
Yeah, no, definitely.
No parent knows what they're doing, right?
Yeah,
but a lot of them try to save face.
Yeah.
So it's interesting for the audience to be... Well, the audience already knows, dude, you are a giant flying dork,
right.
And that is not a surprise. But for him to let down that guard to Ezra, to whom he is supposed to be a role model,
exactly.
Be like, meh.
Yeah, okay. And again, this just goes back to, you know, a lot of what we were saying earlier about Hera as well, that Kanan and Hera are very much the parents of this little group.
Zeb's the crazy uncle.
And I think it was somebody further up in the chat, I apologize that I missed your name, was saying that, you know, what's really nice about Rebels is we're seeing the rebellion being built.
Yes.
It, like, literally, the foundation is being laid. It's... What? Hopefully that means Leia's going to come in at some point. That would be stupendous. I know, that would be so great.
I would die of happiness. I may not be here for that show because I may actually be dead.
Just like, sorry, Emma couldn't join us.
She's passed out from excitement. She may be dead, but we're going to try to resuscitate her.
We left her body in the viewing room and came in to do the show. Yeah. We'll see if she's still out there when we...
Yeah. There is a comment on the hashtag.
Oh, good.
More of a question, actually, from Billy Pollyann.
Oh, great.
Do you guys think they will show Cham Syndulla? Hashtag ABTV Rebels.
I don't know. That's, of course, Hera's mother. I would like to... I mean, they're bringing in a lot more characters from Clone Wars, so I wouldn't be surprised, and especially because we had that whole thing with... I think... Because we've talked about this a little bit on the show already, that there's no way that... this can end
well,
happily. Yeah.
I've been saying that since the middle of the first season.
Shut up, let me believe
that. Does it make you feel better when you say it?
Yes. But it could end, it can't end happily for the universe. It could end happily-ish for the characters.
That's true.
And I almost feel like that could be an ending for Hera, that, you know, she does... go back to her family. So it's happy from the viewpoint that
she'd
be alive,
but
she wouldn't be doing what she's meant to do.
No, she's meant to be in the air.
Yeah.
She's meant to fly. I will say, I think if that's what they're planning on doing, they laid the groundwork for it very well in this episode with the story about her family. I would definitely... I mean, we saw Hondo last week. We've seen Rex and the other clones come in. There's a chance.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. We'll see. Any other things you guys want to discuss before we dive into some news and gossip?
Not particularly. I think we... basically.
Yeah.
The only other thing I want to comment on is just how cool the actual aerial flight
scenes. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
So good.
So, like,
and the Sabine Hera team up, always all about it. There were so many shots of the two of them, and I was like, yes, girl power.
Never get in between a Mandalorian and a weapon system.
Yes.
They didn't tell us how they solved the problem.
I believe it was that they used the Phantom to jump the B-Wing into the battle. Because it didn't have light speed.
I think at the end there, the B-Wing didn't actually go into hyperdrive.
Right.
It just accelerated.
Yeah.
So that's my guess. But yeah, we were all kind of looking
at the last... That wasn't super clear. I feel like if I watched it again, it would maybe be more clear to me. But let's, you know, since I was talking about the lady power, let's talk about a little bit of... news and gossip from today.
Let's do it.
Granted, this is for Force Awakens, but...
good enough. Do it.
But Entertainment Weekly ran an article today where there was a little news about Princess Leia's role in the new film. Spoilers. She is a general.
Yes!
I know! That was my reaction. General Leia.
Yes!
According to the interview with J.J. Abrams, apparently at some point there is going to be a little slip where a character accidentally refers to her as princess. I'm guessing it might be Han Solo, but you know, it's just me. But yeah, so she is a freaking general, you guys.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I do kind of, at this point, I'm like, she's a queen.
Yeah, right.
But no, General is fantastic. General Leia.
I know. It. Doesn't that sound great?
She's General Skywalker.
HBIC. Mm-hmm.
General yep. Sky. I love that.
I've seen it quoted as Leia Organa Solo, so we'll see.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah. General Solo then.
That's fine.
That's fine. That's fine.
As long as
and
she...
And Han goes, yes, and we all go, no, not you, the important one.
As long as she is... in charge. You know what I mean?
Oh. HBIC up in here.
Yeah. And I know that there's a little bit of a delay in the chat, but all I'm seeing right now are huge exclamations of girl power and Sabine episode next week. And
woo! Bless.
That's just everything I ever dreamed of. Yeah, we got a Hera episode this week. It definitely looks like it's going to be a Sabine-centric episode next week.
With another Mandalorian from the Lux Summit.
Yes. The mercenary, who's also a girl.
Yes.
I love it.
I just love all the women we're seeing in Star Wars.
I love that there's so much more respect from the franchise towards its female audience
absolutely.
Than there was in the past.
Absolutely. And I mean, there was a whole controversy recently about Star Wars kind of pulling back on the Slave Leia merchandise.
They're retiring it entirely. Yeah. They're not going to make it anymore.
Yeah. And to the people who are mad about that, to that I say, you had,
30 years.
I will say that, okay, stop making slave merchandise. Make more Leia merchandise
exactly.
to make
let's,
up for
let's,
it.
Yeah, let's yeah. get some more like Leia
Battle
on
Hoth, clothes.
Like
yeah.
merchandise.
Leia with the gun.
Yeah.
Leia on the speeder bike.
Sure.
Anything.
I don't even mind Leia in the dress that she wears when she's hanging out with the Ewoks.
Yeah.
You know?
Just
love it.
Not the bikini.
Yeah, we don't need the metal bikini anymore.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
We never needed it in the first place.
Yeah, it's true. All right, cool. So that is about going to wrap things up for us today. Megan, where can people find you on the internet?
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at THEMENGUIN. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, including Ash vs. Evil Dead
Woo!
On Sundays. And I also write articles for The Movie Chick, Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. I am also on Snapchat at Kia Prime. I kind of live at the studios. I'm on a lot of shows, including Arrow, which is actually going to be tomorrow night, different time, and Steven Universe, which will be tomorrow.
Woo! I'm Emma Fife. You can follow me all over the internet at Emma Fife. That's on Instagram and Twitter where I am the most active. You can also watch me on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzzTV.com, like Ash vs. Evil Dead on Sundays Woo! Or Steven Universe tomorrow. We do a lot
you
of
don't
the same
say.
Shows.
We're just monopolizing
know,
all your time. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you know, that's...
Dibs.
Also, guys, be sure to follow at AfterBuzzTV on Twitter. Check us out on iTunes, on YouTube. We have over 300 after shows. If there's a TV show that you like, we probably do an after show for it. And we've also got all kinds of great content on our sister networks, Popcorn Talk, Black Hollywood Live, Book Circle Online, and the Every Girl Network. So much content for you guys to enjoy. And be sure to tune in again next week, same time, same place, so you can enjoy another episode of the Star Wars Rebels after show. And we will see you guys then.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other aftershows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.